Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers and we read comics.
And it's only one of our birthdays this week.
Yeah.
It's mine.
Happy birthday, Nathan.
Thank you, I turned 45.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You don't look a day over 46.
Yeah, I have a really good skincare routine, so I only look like I'm 30.
Just like a lot of lotion.
Yeah, so much lotion.
We got different time codes in our description.
Yep.
We got the book, which is Amazing X-Men, the pick from Nathan.
Yep.
The Back Matter Matters, if there is any, and the poll list. But we start with the news.
Yes, we do. Daniel, let's start off with a big debate that's been going on. Have you heard about the big debate? It is the comic book version of the white and gold or blue and black front address.
Facing, dude. Front facing.
Okay. Okay, let me explain. You think front facing?
1,000%. What are you talking about?
So everybody knows the Dark Knight Returns cover that Frank Miller does. It's the one where he's doing the weird shit in the air. And there's a
silhouette.
And it's a silhouette. And there's like the lightning bolt behind it, right?
There's probably like a clip of it from the animated movie where he's doing that.
But that's not necessarily... That's the interpretation of whoever was making the thing, right? And I think... So basically, it's him doing that weird pose. I'll send it to you. It's right there. But you decide yourself if you want.
Why would a cover have like the back of anybody?
Because it's
maybe,
cool.
Maybe the back of the comic would have the back of
because them. It's cool. I 100% always thought this has been back facing. Because it looks like his knees are like pointing away, right?
No, they're pointing towards you, Nathan.
No, I don't think so.
You ever see that video of that kid on like a swing, but you can't tell if he's like facing forward or facing backwards?
It's the
same thing.
It's literally the same thing. And so there's been people that have like, you know, drawn some like pretty convincing things, like not in silhouette. And so there's this one where someone just kind of sketched over it and was like, yeah, it's
front-facing. Yeah, I've seen a lot of those.
And that looks okay. You know, I like this one.
That's correct.
I think the actual correct one is this one where someone drew him upside down and we've all had it wrong this whole time. And so he's actually been upside down the whole time. We all thought wrong. And they kind of make it work, actually.
That's...
You can do a comparison side by side. It was pretty close.
He looks like he's going to a different dimension.
Yeah.
Like.
And then probably my favorite, it's not just Batman.
It's Superman 2.
It's Superman 2 and the kiss. And it's there's two of them there. That's why the cape looks all fucking weird. That's always what something that's bothered me about that cover is that the cape is all funky.
I've never even noticed the cape being like that.
Are
until,
you serious?
Until this like debate came
is
out.
Is this cape like that in the comic?
No, it's not.
It's like a normal cape.
Yeah, it's like
so a I don't know cape. What like made it be that way.
It's literally only Frank Miller who can like settle this.
Have people asked him? Surely he's hurt.
You think they would have by now?
Yeah, I think
is
they
he on
by
Twitter?
Now. Yeah. Well, let me see. Let me get a live update.
Yeah, he's probably commented on it.
He's probably like, I don't fucking know.
He's like, front facing dipshits.
He hasn't posted anything since July. Maybe a reply, perhaps. Nothing. So we'll never know. And if he's smart, he'll never tell us. But I can't. Oh, wow. I thought
it keeps like.
I thought for sure you're going to be a back facer like me. Sophie thinks it's a back facing pose.
Oh, please.
I asked her and I was like, you don't know anything about this. And yeah, she thought back facing. Also,
sir.
Do you know that lightning bolt is airbrushed?
No.
That's kind of cool. Because he does really good. It's like very sharp. So it's.
You think Frank Miller airbrushed it?
Yeah, he did.
Hmm. Then why has he never airbrushed any other thing?
Because he was like, man, that was a pain in the ass. Maybe. Yeah.
So anyway, to
that was the big news.
In other news, in actual news, Nathan, have you ever heard of Penthouse Comics?
No.
It's like it's a spicy comics magazine.
Ooh.
And it's going to be, and it like. Stopped publishing like some years ago, mm-hmm, but it'll be coming back this Valentine's Day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Learned that from Tim Seeley.
Are they releasing a spicy comic book on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Nathan Michael Waldron has been hired to write Kang Dynasty.
What else did he write?
I think he wrote Ant-Man Quantumania?
No, that was Hopeless.
Hopeless. What was the last thing? No, he wrote fucking Loki. That's what he wrote.
Ooh, okay, pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked that show.
So
the second season. Did you write both seasons?
I don't know. Ooh. I think so.
Okay.
But anyway, so that's kind of like an official-ish kind of thing that they're moving forward with this.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you have your opinion on that, but I think it was kind of up in the air, and this just hiring people for it seems like they're going forward.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. Do you think he's a good villain? Just without any of the... Yeah.
Yeah, I was very excited for it.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
I love a time travel thing. I'm a sucker.
I'm a little confused about his whole deal, but I'm sure it'll get straightened out.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. This is very prevalent news based off what we're reading today.
Okay.
But X-Men Blue came out this week.
Okay.
And in it, they revealed two things.
Did you go on comicbook.com to get your news?
No.
Oh, okay. Because it seems like they just have like a bunch of spoilers. Be like, you wouldn't believe what happens in this issue or whatever.
No, it's just like a bit of discourse that I saw just like online. But
okay.
Basically, Nightcrawler is normally the son of Mystique and Azazel, which is very strange. Or it's very weird that we're like the timing of this because we're reading the book where that's very much the case.
Yeah.
But they've just recently retconned it so that it's Mystique and another woman, and Mystique shaped into a man and had Nightcrawler and became...
That's sick.
Yeah. So...
She can do it both ways?
She can... she's very gender fluid. That was also a big thing about this is that she's like non-binary now, which is kind of cool, which makes sense.
That you think she would be from the start, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's constantly being a dude and walking into a bar or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever she does.
And apparently like getting laid.
Pretending, yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's now the... And then she told Azazel, because she's also had sex with Azazel, I guess. And she's like convinced him that Nightcrawler is his son.
So does this other woman have a tail?
No.
Where does the tail come from?
And
the thing, it's crazy because Azazel like teleports too, you know? He bamfs.
Yeah, so according to the new comic, they wanted a kid. The whole Duke situation, I don't know what that means, was going on. Destiny had a vision that Azazel might take over the world unless someone who he believed to be his kid stopped him. So Mystique morphed into him, later seduced him and fooled him. So that's why he's not the thing anymore. And then also, I guess that was the original parents of Nightcrawler before it was retconned into Azazel. So it's like an unretconning. So Nightcrawler was always Mystique's son, but originally Chris Claremont wanted him to be the son of Mystique and Destiny, who are both women. So Mystique would have shifted a dick and balls. this is an explanation from someone on Twitter, by the way.
I thought you were paraphrasing. I'm like, this is hilarious.
But that idea got shut down and he was eventually made Azazel's son, which people have hated for a really long time because a lot of Nightcrawler's characters that he's a Christian who's extremely misjudged due to his devil-like appearance, and the theme is don't judge a book by its cover. But the thing is, Azazel is actually a demon, so it kind of undermines a little bit of that.
It's pretty interesting because like he's like a demon, like son of a demon that's like conformed to Christianity, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's pretty interesting.
I think there's value in both.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see how like the original way where it's like he just happens to look like a demon just because that's what happened.
Yeah.
Would also be like really hard for him to overcome because like he's not rooted in anything like that. But then if he thinks that he is rooted in something like that, it's all about him like changing his destiny. So either way, I'm kind of cool with that. I don't really give a fuck.
For sure. I'm not reading it.
Yeah. So
neat.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Very timely.
Yeah. Which is why I gave us this book. Because I called it.
You saw the future.
Not any other reason.
Nathan, have you ever heard of the podcast, The First Issue Club?
No.
It's pretty good. It's kind of like Serious Issues when they did First Things First.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's all they do.
They only do first issues.
Yeah, but they don't buy like every first issue. They just...
That would be exhausting.
They just review like the first issues that they want.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. It's one of my favorite podcasts currently.
Mm-hmm.
They had Ed Brubaker on for an interview, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that he is working on a original graphic novel with Steve Epting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They come back together.
They come back.
After being together on Winter Soldier and probably other things.
Yeah. He's like, he was just saying that he missed working with them. And so they're working on something. And the genre and everything is unannounced, but it is in the works.
Dude, I love Brubaker.
So good.
He's such a good, like titan of comics right now.
Yeah, he was promoting.
I should, like, read everything he's ever done.
We should do that. Ed Brubaker year.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. There's probably enough out
there. The year of Brubaker. Brubaker year. Anyway, yeah, he's promoting Where the Body Was. That come out in December. I think December 15th.
Is that with Sean Phillips?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
it comes out when I'm not even going to be here, bro.
Yeah, dude. So it'll be coming out in comics in December, and then it'll come out into like bookstores in like January, I think.
Does it come out on his like Substack or something first that I could grab onto?
No, he said he doesn't want to. He might not even like release it digitally.
Wow.
Because that just like promotes people to torrent it.
The balls. Yeah. God, he's such a smart man.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't even know if he has a Substack.
I think he's got something.
I'll just buy it and ship it to Thailand.
I know that. Oh, I'll tell you where I'm going to be.
I'll overnight it. It'll ship be it like $300.
Yeah. It'd be so scary, too. If it doesn't get there in time, it's like, oh, shit.
Anyway. Nathan, speaking of other countries, there's a boys spinoff coming. It's called The Boys Mexico.
Oh, the homies.
Yeah. It's going to have fucking Andor in it, I think, and it's going to have the writer from Blue
Diego
Beetle.
Diego Luna,
and then the writer from Blue Beetle and some other guys.
The writer from Blue Beetle's acting in it?
He's writing it, I think.
Oh, okay. And I like Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
He had a good, like, Mexican voice, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. He understands.
Yeah. That was, like, the part of it I enjoyed Mexican. The most. Yeah, he's probably Mexican.
Yeah.
Or if not, he's pretty good at being Mexican.
So I think that'd be pretty cool. So maybe some cartel stuff or something.
Yeah, some cartel drug stuff.
Yeah, superhero cartel drug stuff.
Yep, love that.
In other movie news, I guess. You know the movie Madame Web?
Yeah.
So, lucky us, it has the same writing team as Morbius.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, thank God.
Oh, man.
It's safe.
I was worried.
So you can sleep, how'd sleep like a baby
two
now.
Projects? Dang.
It's just Sony, you know?
I guess. There's nobody else, probably.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Well, at least Morbius was like a somewhat coherent movie. It just wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So
I guess that's all you can ask for at this
point.
Dude,
I'm not interested in going to see Madame Web. I probably won't.
Let's go see it, dude.
Dude, I don't want to.
Come on and be sick.
I didn't even see Morbius in theaters.
Neither did I. I saw it on a plane.
I saw it while there.
You watched
it
at home.
In the background of like a party.
Oh, I thought you saw it at home.
Yeah, it was at the party was at my house.
Oh, yeah, so... Chip Zdarsky teased in his Substack newsletter, I think, that he was working on a 10-year anniversary special for sex criminals.
Oh.
Yeah. First issue came out in 2013.
Dang.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Really.
Because when I first read the trade on Comixology, rest in peace, by the time this comes out.
I know. This will be the last time we're using it,
dude,
I think.
No. Wow. Wow. When I first started reading Sex Criminals, it was like 2015. So I thought it was like all done then. So damn. I was one of the early ones. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize.
And last thing I got, there is a documentary that's going to be coming out. There's a trailer that just dropped for it. It's called Surviving Comics. And it's a documentary about comics retailers.
Ooh.
Yeah. Looks really cool.
Yeah, that seems cool.
Yeah, just like interviewing
shop owners. Because it's such a wild... The economics of comics is bizarre.
Insane. It seems terrifying.
It's just gambling. Yeah. It feels like... It's like, I think people will like this. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you get slighted so easily if people just don't pick up their subscriptions or whatever.
Yeah. And like, it sucks because like you can go to like a shop and maybe like an issue that came out like 3 weeks ago, there's still a ton of it left or something. You're like, ooh.
And they just eat that cost.
Yeah.
You know, or never, like sell that. Really.
Or like you go to get something and it's sold out like within like a couple hours.
And it's like you got to wait 3 months for me to reorder it. Right. If they do a second printing.
Yeah. Or just like ordering what's left at distributors still. Yeah. And so it's very,
I'd be interested to see that,
which is why you need to pre-order everything you want so they can get their numbers right.
Yeah. They get the numbers. It's just confirmed revenue.
Exactly.
So do that to your shops. I just put Justice League versus Godzilla versus King Kong on there, on mine. Even though it's only going for like five. But
I put Where the Body Was. I put Bird King Volume 2.
When does that come out here?
Bird King?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in November, right?
You know, it might come out next week, honestly.
Ooh, I should have ordered it. I didn't even think about it.
I just saw it on Comics Hub.
And I put...
It is next week, yeah. So you'll be able to pick it up and take it on your cruise.
I don't know if... Can you see if they have two?
What? Oh,
Ash? I don't know if Strange Adventures is that cool.
Oh, valid.
To like have Bird King, which
I'll put times two just in case, and okay. I'll make sure I go on Wednesday.
All right, cool.
Just in case.
Appreciate that, because I would love to read that.
I don't know. You haven't actually sent me money for Snarlagon, so I don't know if I'm going to get you this one, too.
add it to my tab.
Anyway. Yeah,
I did forget that, huh?
So let's get into the book that we read this week, Nathan.
Daniel, we read Amazing X-Men, which is a very prevalent title.
So what made you...
Jason Aaron, Ed McGuinness, Dexter Vines as the inker, and Marte Gracia as the colorist.
Yeah. So,
and before you say anything about this book, I'll speak for you. You thought it was incredible, and you're like, this is the best thing I've ever read. And thank you, Nathan, for bestowing this upon me, this hidden gem, you know, of comics that is incredibly underrated and now one of your top five of all time. And I say thank you. And I say you're welcome.
You're close.
I said this book because I was trying to think of something that you'd never want to read on this podcast.
You know, I think with Nightcrawler, you could have gotten me. You could have sold me on it if you were very persistent about it.
And I read this as a young lad, so I was very curious if it holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I've read a lot of things as young lads, and I like either hate them, and I would like have to go back and reread it to like truly appreciate it.
Sure.
Or I really like it, and it's actually like kind of dog.
Yeah.
And so what did you think of this book?
It's not what I expected, like plot wise, you know, just looking at the cover.
Yeah.
It's like a little dense in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like Ed McGuinness's art is like the Marvel gold standard.
For sure carries.
It's incredible.
Any book. Yeah. He's
like kind of a legend, right?
Yeah.
Is he in Thor? Is that him?
He's done some Thor. No.
What do we know him from?
Agents of fucking, it was like one of our earlier episodes.
What, Next Wave?
Next Wave, yeah.
He did Next Wave?
Ooh, maybe that was Eminem.
That might be Eminem.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, Ed McGuinness, he did Avengers with Aaron.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so.
He's got like a super buff She-Hulk.
Yeah, really good. Honestly, I think this is probably like one of the coolest stories you could tell about Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
You know, which is what I appreciated about it. Like, I think if you're a Nightcrawler fan, you definitely check this out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a very like, maybe not great if you're just like X-Men in general, I guess.
Yeah. It's a weird X-Men book.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy this.
But it wasn't like boring, you know, it's definitely like I said, like a very weird plot.
I definitely liked it more like, then I'll say that I think my enjoyment of the book has like gone down a little bit, because I remember in my head there was like one particular moment where I was like, wow, this is comics right here.
Was it like the Nightcrawler Azazel fight?
No, that's pretty cool though.
Nah, yeah,
cool. I do like visualizing it in my head, even though on the page there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of poofs, but yeah. I like visualizing it in my head.
They're bamfs, Nathan.
The bamfs. Yeah. Yeah, how dare I. But there's like weird comic stuff in here as well, which I appreciate, because X-Men's always like kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I like it.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting setting. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Alrighty.
So Nightcrawler's dead, Daniel. He died because of the thing that happened before.
First, Nathan, we got front matter.
We do have front matter. Yeah,
you got some variants.
Kevin Nolan, a fucking legend in the X-Men space. Scotty Young, he does a very good cover, because it's like he's upside down and so is the word balloon. It's upside down.
Yeah,
that's not how that works. There's a Deadpool variant by Trad Moore.
Ooh,
I didn't even realize that. That's cool. And then Milo Manera, so pretty good covers.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like about this first page is it references like some of the stuff from before, and so like this very first panel is from a Nightcrawler series that I got when I first started reading like comics.
Okay.
And so that's that one. I remember that one pretty fondly as well, but I don't ever hear anybody talk about it, so I'm scared to go back.
The coloring is insane.
Coloring is really cool. Yeah, he looks very scary.
He looks real.
And I think he's a priest in it. I can't remember.
That sounds neat.
Or maybe that's Krakoa era. He's like a priest at some point, which is kind of cool because he looks like the devil or whatever. And then he died in an event, an X-Men event. I can't remember what it's called. Never read it.
Okay.
But it's after Avengers versus X-Men.
House of M.
No. That's before, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know. It was like one thing. It was like, I can't remember. Anyway, Nightcrawler's dead. He's in heaven now, and he's wearing some cool cloaks. And he's like, man, I wish I wasn't dead. There's one more. I wanted to do more in my life. And then there's an attack on heaven.
He looks like Assassin's Creed.
Dude, like. He does look like Assassin's Creed. You nailed that.
All right, what's that guy's name?
He looks like Ezio.
Ezio, yeah.
Ezio Auditore.
I was like, what's his look like?
It's not normally. Ezio's like the second one, but he's my favorite.
Okay.
Anyway, and then so there's an attack on heaven. There's a bunch of demons and they're led by Nightcrawler's father, Azazel. And, you know, Kurt stops him for now, but he knows that he's going to be back. So he's like, well, I got to sword up.
The first time we see Azazel, I was like, wow, he looks way different than I thought. And I thought like he had horns, like these huge ass horns.
Oh, that would be kind of hard though.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, he's so scary.
Like some fucking Pokemon horns.
But no, it's like a pirate hat.
Yeah. I never understood why Nightcrawler got like the pirate sort of shtick. Because it's like a part of his character before.
Because he's like a part of the circus. Like
maybe, but like, was the circus traveling around on pirate ships?
Maybe.
I don't think so. But yeah, I love that like Nightcrawler just gets a sword. And then his dad, also a demon, who's like never...
Doesn't he always have swords?
I guess. I don't know why. Huh. I also don't know why he can like bamf around. He's like the only demon seemingly that can do that.
Why Nightcrawler can?
No, why Azazel can. Like, where did that come from?
Is he not also a mutant? No,
he's like a demon. That's Azazel.
Hmm.
So, or maybe he's, I don't know.
I think that's just the name.
This is why I love X-Men. It's like, it's too confusing to even look up, so just enjoy the ride, you know?
Yeah, I don't think he's like one of like, you know, the main like demon guys, you know, like actually in
maybe
like Lucifer level or whatever.
No. But he's like whatever Azazel normally is.
Like, is he like on the same level as like Mephisto?
No.
Okay, so.
Mephisto's like up there with like a Lucifer, I would say.
I didn't know that Azazel had Bamfs, though.
The little
creatures.
The little rodent creatures that are just like babies.
Yeah.
But they call them rodents. And I'm like, it seems a little mean.
It's your buddies.
I just like love the idea of like Nightcrawler in heaven, like this dude that looks like the devil, and he's just like in heaven, like this really nice place.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's pretty cool imagery.
Something you gotta do with Nightcrawler is give him like the shaded like forehead where it's like black.
Dude, because like look at this pose. Like he always looks cool with like a little front like silhouette type shit.
Yeah.
So people have always been really good, I feel like, coloring him.
Yeah.
And
Inker's always just got to get that forehead, you know?
Yeah. Dexter Vines is pretty dope in this.
He's the one.
Yeah. So then we jump to Earth, and Firestar is starting her first day as a teacher of the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning and is shocked at the weirdness of the school. She knew it was going to be weird. And then she walks in and she's like, wow, there's a lot of weird shit going on here. And then she runs into Beast, who's investigating a noise in the wall. And they find that it's a portal that has been built by those Bamfs. Dan, there's a lot of weird shit going on here. Wolverine and Storm, I think, are a thing.
That's cool.
Which is cool. And then we got Dupe. Dupe's in here.
Dude, I know.
I just love seeing... I wish Dupe was just always in the background.
Dupe, yeah.
I don't know what happened to him, but we need to bring him back.
It's like, where's Waldo?
I should have picked Dupe for this.
You definitely should have.
Ooh, man. Next year.
Well, we got to do Dupe with Parker, you know?
Oh, true.
So I think we've been saving that.
I think he has like a graded Dupe.
That seems like something you don't.
Yeah. And then we see a group shot of everybody. And I always love these pages because it tells me who they are. Because I don't know who the fuck Warbird is, you know?
Big fan.
Yeah. You're a big Warbird fan?
Yeah, now I am.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with X-Men, too.
I feel like, who is that?
I feel like any X-Men that's created, it becomes someone's favorite X-Men. That's like kind of like the joke of X-Men. Because there's like Glob. You know who Glob is?
Is he the one that's like fat?
No, that's Blob.
My mistake.
Yeah. Idiot. Glob is the big pink guy. He looks like Jell-O, but you see a skeleton on the inside of it. And that's Glob.
Oh, right. That was in Morrison's run.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how I know that.
Well, maybe make sure it's Glob.
Oh, dude, North Star. He was in
Yeah, his name is Glob Herman.
Alpha Flight.
North Star was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Apparently he's an Alpha Flight.
Yeah. So tons of X-Men here. Everybody else we kind of know.
Who's Rachel Gray? Is that Jean Gray's daughter?
Jean Gray's daughter with Cyclops.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she was like the main focus of the event that killed Nightcrawler. Because it was like she like was going to get the Phoenix Force or something, and then Cable took her and then like went back in time or whatever to try and hide her. And then,
oh, that sounds sick.
And then bing, bang, boom, Nightcrawler's dead.
Love Cable.
Yeah. It's a really long event, I think. That's why I never read it. Yeah. Because it's like, it's probably one of those ones that's like 20, 25 issues or some shit. And so
nothing should honestly, especially events, be more than 12.
I know, dude. That's why I think X of Swords. I was so in with the Krakoan era of X-Men, like the Hickman stuff. And then they're like, boom, 27 part event.
Or it was like jumping between these two books.
Yeah. And you have to pick up all the fucking books. So you got to figure out. I mean, there's a checklist, but I don't know when the other fucking books are coming out.
Yeah. They're like, we got
some of them are like multiple in the same day. So like, you know, I'm not fucking hunting it down if I pick it up 1 week and I didn't realize that the next part of X of Swords was coming out, you know?
I would buy like the Krakoan like omnibus thing.
That'd probably be pretty cool.
It would take like a year to read it, but like
Powers of X and House of X and Powers of 10.
Yeah, like that.
On its own is a lot to get through.
I think they have like that in order in a big book.
It probably is. Well, those two you can read just separately. But it's cool. It was cool reading it at the same time.
Okay.
And then the Krakoa, I think the beginning Krakoa stuff is really cool. I have no idea what's going on now, but and that X-Force is really strong. I almost made us read that
X-Force one. Or X-Men?
X-Force.
Okay. X-Men, you were picking that up, huh?
I was picking that up, and they like killed Xavier in that one, but not in the main X-Men book, and I was always really confused about that.
Dude, that dude's always dead.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like doesn't even hurt anymore.
He's dead in this continuity that we're reading. Yeah. Spoilers. I forgot about that. No, that's not spoilers. He's not even a part of it. Anyway, the portal has like red bamfs that pop out, and that's like a new thing. And then the portal explodes and it transports Wolverine and North Star somewhere. And they wake up and they look up and there's a floating pirate ship, Daniel. One of my favorite tropes, a good old floating pirate ship.
It's not a pirate ship in space, though.
But it's like as close as you can get to that.
Yeah.
So.
So like Beast was like, these freaking bamps, the wretched creatures, blah, blah, blah. They've been in the walls and they've been drinking Logan's whiskey. And I thought that was like a joke to where like Wolverine was just, his whiskey was just gone.
Yeah.
Like, who drank my whiskey kind of thing. But like they actually drink whiskey. Like they bring it up later.
I don't know why. I couldn't tell
so
you.
So random.
Who decided that?
Yeah. Like you see like a little one, they're like, oh, whiskey. Like that's like the only word that they know. They know bamp and whiskey.
Yeah. It's like Groot.
Yeah.
But also, I thought you were going to hit me with the who the fuck is that for Warbird.
Nah.
And I tried looking it up so I could be prepped. And like not even the internet really knows, it seems like. None of the like Marvel wikis or anything like that. All I got was that Warbird used to be Carol Danvers. Like she used to call herself that.
Huh.
And then I think this Warbird is like half Shi'ar. And that's all I got. So no idea who that is. But it's someone's favorite X-Men probably.
Pretty fine though.
Yeah, pretty fine. Issue 2. So Iceman, Firestar, and Storm were also transported, and they were pretty clearly transported to hell. And they were right in front of a bunch of demons charging in for battle. But the demons run past the X-Men people and they just fight pirates that are like kind of behind them. And so they just decided to join in on fighting and they just like fight everybody. And I was confused by this because they have no idea what's happening. They're in hell and Iceman's like melting. So why would Storm be like, no, we should like fight right here and not take this opportunity to escape and figure this shit out?
Yeah.
So Storm's pretty gung-ho about just fighting everybody.
When Iceman's like melting, he looks like pretty like Trad Moore, you know?
Yeah,
he seems does. Like how he would draw him.
Yeah.
He's just very like goopy.
I would love a Trad Moore X-Men.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. What do you think of Mohawk Storm?
I prefer it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's like the best.
So, I like how, didn't they do that in Apocalypse? X-Men Apocalypse?
Yeah. Yeah. Young Storm had Mohawk.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good choice. North Star distracts the ship that was in the last issue by just like flying around while Wolverine protects the people in heaven from having like their souls taken by demons.
Real quick about North Star.
Okay.
There's like, you know, captions. It's like Jean-Paul Bubier or whatever.
Yeah.
North Star, the fastest of the X-Men. I'm like, hold on. I don't know.
I read that too. And I'm like, well, what's Quicksilver?
Yeah.
He ain't shit, I guess.
Did he die too? I don't know.
He's probably dead.
This guy's just flying around.
Well, he should have, Nightcrawler should have been like, you know, the fastest of the living X-Men if Quicksilver's not alive.
Yeah, I don't know
if
he is. Flying X-Men? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, flying X-Men would have been good too.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, it really just like kind of diminishes the Quicksilver shit.
Yeah.
So Wolverine is bamfed onto the ship to fight Captain Jack, who is a guy that's just working for Azazel. Sick design, though.
There's a really funny, like, panel right here where he's, like, it looks like he's, like, flashing him.
Dude, yeah, it does kind of look like that.
He's like, look at my dick!
he, like, has, like, a trench coat. He opens it up and, like, knives are coming out or something.
I guess.
It's, like, a back angle, and so it just looks like he's opening up a trench coat to, like, hit him with, you know, with some dick shot.
He's like, God! Nightcrawler's like,
No! Look at all those pubes, though. And so then we jump back to Storm, who's powerless. Some of them are like powerless and some of them are. I don't really know how.
Yeah, in like hell or whatever. Yeah,
but she is. Well, it makes sense for Storm because there's not, I guess, weather in hell. So I could see that. But
sure.
So Storm fights powerless. She's captured by Captain Kidd to bring to Azazel. And then Iceman goes like Super Saiyan and turns hell into like a bunch of ice.
He freezes hell.
He freezes hell, which is kind of cool imagery. And then he passes out. And then Logan talks briefly with Professor X before he just like falls off the ship, the pirate ship. And he just kind of falls into like an afterlife abyss. And then Nightcrawler's like, well, I guess I gotta go fix this. So, yeah. So Professor X is kind of just like the watcher in this. He's kind of like from afar.
Or God.
I guess. But he's definitely in heaven, so that's cool. Issue 3, we find out Azazel's plan is to just be king of like the afterlife, pretty much heaven and hell and purgatory and all that. So, and then Beast gets transported onto Azazel's ship and pieces together that he's like in purgatory. And so Beast and Azazel fight for a bit before Azazel does a bamf stab in the back to Beast and then throws him over. And I really like the characteristic of Beast being like agnostic when he's like literally in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't think this is like enough proof for you or whatever? So I think that's cool.
So, okay. I have an issue with that. So when they bamf, I always thought it was like they're teleporting and the puff of smoke was just kind of like a residue kind of thing.
Yeah, that's like the noise.
But in here, it's more like it's a portal that they're going into, because Azazel makes like a bamf like in front of him when he throws like a sword, and then the bamf shows up behind Beast, and that's when he gets stabbed in the back. So it's like he's playing portal.
Yeah.
Instead of like,
I think he's still going through it, isn't he?
No, dude. Like you see these pages right here.
Oh.
Like he's literally like throwing the sword into the bamf. Not the creature, like the puff of smoke.
I think it's a bamf that catches it. He like throws it because you see like a little tail come out.
So the bamf is...
So he's the bamfs to bamf a sword into Beast.
Ah. If I just gave it a second, I'd figure that out.
Yeah, if you just fucking looked.
Yeah, I was like, wait a goddamn minute.
Yeah. And then, so... Yeah, that was pretty cool. Pretty cool fight scene. I always love seeing Beast kind of get active. Because sometimes he's just like in the lab or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a good spot for him, but...
In like any X-Men book, Beast has to be doing some smart shit and he's gonna go like stomp on some people. You know? Yeah.
Do we see him in... Was it an new X-Men, the Grant Morrison one? He like kills a kid because he's got his mind taken over. Is that what happened?
Yeah, with like a bat.
Yeah, that was cool. We like
is
that
bird guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so Nightcrawler steps in to save Storm from the people on her ship. And then there's like a flashback and we see that they used to date, I guess, which is
nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then
anyone dating Storm, I'm like, nice.
Good for them.
Like Wolverine, I'm like, let's go.
But like, they're still like flirting here. Like even like now, and I think she's dating Wolverine, but I'm not sure. And so I'm like, okay.
I think they just might be like flirting.
Yeah, know? Maybe they're just like still. They're well, not like maybe not official.
I'm sure they're not like an item or whatever. But yeah. Like it seems like Logan's always horny. You know.
Yeah, it's true.
He's always.
That's probably a better.
He's always chasing some tail. You know.
Yeah, that's probably a better characterization of like their relationship at this point.
And she's just always shutting it down.
Yeah, and then Nightcrawler is like a hopeless romantic type beat, which I think is very cute.
Yeah.
So yeah, they used to date. But then yeah, on the pirate ship, they're like fighting, and then another boat crashes into their boat that they're on, and that's the one that Beast is on, and he's gone feral because he has the sword in his back still. And
yeah.
What are the odds that their ship collides with Beast's ship on this like vast afterlife ocean?
And like the infinite nothingness of purgatory.
Like there's heaven and then there's hell and then there's purgatory and there's oceans in all of them, it seems like. So yeah. It's like, what are the odds that they're like, oh shit, like my bad. So I think that's funny. But that was issue 3 pretty much. And then issue 4, we see Wolverine has been like falling for a long time and he lands on the ground, which is like super snowy and barren. Firestar is still fighting random demons while Iceman is like passed out, and then Beast has the sword in his back that is making him like crazy, so they do some fighting back and forth. They punch for a bit and then they take the sword out, and he's like immediately fine after that, so that's good. And some good BAMF action. I like when he's fighting someone but they have like a hold of Nightcrawler, and so he's trying to BAMF them off like a bunch of times. Because he can like transport people if he's like touching him.
Yeah.
And then Firestar goes Super Saiyan and then burns hell, which is pretty cool. So we got that group is like the OP X-Men. And then Nightcrawler finds her and Iceman and then explains that BAMFs are his brothers technically, but actually they're shape-shifting maggots that mold themselves after Azazel feeds them with blood.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I've always wondered what the fuck BAMFs are, and this is not a very satisfying explanation.
Yeah.
Because I read that and I was like, wait, what? They're not even like related by blood.
Yeah. And they
I guess kind
so
of.
So they can shape shift and they can also BAMF, you know?
Yeah. So like.
Which is a little.
Their mother was a giant maggot. Their father was a changeling in the form of a face eating lamprey. I don't know why that's relevant.
I don't know.
And then, so they're maggots, like big ugly maggots. And Azazel's like, you're going to be my sons. And so he feeds them blood. And that's why they take the shape of BAMFs. And then there's a reason why some are red and some are blue. I didn't really pick up on it too well. But yeah, that's why they're always in X-Men books randomly.
Huh. Did you see Nightcrawler's Riz in this? Page 79. He's like, Firestar, yes, I've heard. My BAMFs tell me you nearly burned hell to the ground itself.
Yeah, and then he kisses her hand.
He's like, brava, allow me to welcome you to the X-Men, brava. You know?
Yeah, he's got the accent as well, and I feel like that helps with the Riz.
Yeah, whatever accent that is.
Accent Riz. I think he's, like, German.
Oh, true. Yeah, because he, like, says, like, German stuff.
He's like Kurt Wagner, you know?
Wagner, yeah.
Wagner. So then they're like, we got to go find Wolverine in this, like, big snowy area. That should be easy, right? So Wolverine is... just been walking a bunch. He nearly freezes to death, but he keeps going so that he could have the chance of seeing his good friend Kurt again. And then they reunite and it's really nice and stuff. And this is the moment, like this moment where Kurt and Logan hug, and like Logan, his like emotion is portrayed like perfectly. He's like so happy and like to just like see him and stuff. And this is the moment that like stood out in my head when I was trying to like, this is literally the reason I made us read this. It was just because I remember reading this and I was like, that's a good moment right there. But then I'm rereading it and it's like a little sloppy. And so, cause like the buildup's only like one page and then it's like, oh, Nightcrawler's there randomly. That's cool.
Yeah. I like the visual of like Wolverine's claws when they're frozen over, like in that first page with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It just looks really sick. I'm like, oh, man, he could, like, stab someone that's hot or something. Cool him down.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. They're just, like, little like, popsicles.
So, yeah, now everybody's together, and they're like, let's go fight Azazel. Let me put on my pirate hat,
he says. They got the team together. They're on their ship, and everyone's got their pirate getup.
Yeah. Beast has a bandana, and Storm has
like, a...
thing around her forehead, and that's it. Everybody's a pirate now.
Yeah, but Firestar, she her clothes got ripped somehow, and showing off the old midriff.
Yeah, there's a lot of skin showing for Firestar.
Yeah, big fan of Firestar now.
Yeah, me too. One of my favorites.
That's how I get invested, you know.
Yeah, I like that he has like the little. What do you call this thing? Telescope.
Yeah,
do they like, call those that?
The pirate binocular. Ones? Like, that's the. It's one of those two of them.
A unocular. What are those called? Anyway, he's got like the pirate thing where
it's
you like
a telescope, right?
It's like a, I think it's a telescope.
Yeah,
and
I think little ones like, are called that? Something different, but
also on the, why do you need that?
It's on the ship already.
That's true. That's true.
And so what I thought was interesting is that the issue 5 cover is like the trade cover.
Yeah.
Which you never see.
What gets the people going, you know, because this is a good cover. It's everybody being pirates. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Give me some of this. Iceman has an eye patch in this. He doesn't in the book, which is a little sad.
Yeah. That people are like, is that fucking North Star? Oh my God. With a oh pirate hat.
And Fire Star. There's two stars in here.
Did you mention Iceman with the eye patch?
Yeah. He's got an eye patch in this cover, but he doesn't in the book.
Whack.
Yeah. Super whack.
I would have returned the book. I'm like,
also, I love when Wolverine's being drawn and he's just so hairy, like all the way around.
Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah. It's awesome. All right. Issue 5. So, the X-Men pirates are now fighting Azazel's demon pirates. Who knows how they found them in these like 3 versions of the afterlife that they're in. But there's like some BAMF fighting, but
The BAMFs are fighting each other. It's so cool.
The BAMFs are fighting each other, which is pretty cool. And then Nightcrawler and Azazel are BAMF fighting. That's what I call it, where they're just like somehow keeping up with each other in the air. I don't know like logistically how that works, but yeah. This is the double page spread that I really like, even though it's mostly just poofs. Or BAMFs of dust, or yeah. Brimstone, I should say. I like visualizing it in my head because it seems cool. But it's very Looney Tunes as well, because sometimes it's just like a BAMF cloud, and then it's just like two swords coming out of it and clanging with one another. And
yeah, so that's what makes silly. It seem more like they're making portals than actually teleporting themselves.
No, know? I think it's more like Looney Tunes, where there's like the big cloud of dust, and there's just fists smoke. In the air, and like there's a leg you see. Yeah, that's how I interpret that, at least. And then, yeah, so there's some BAMF fighting, but Azazel stabs Wolverine, who doesn't have his healing factor for some reason. So he's like about to die.
Because he's in hell or whatever.
But no one else lost their power. So I'm a little confused about that. I mean, Storm does because there's no weather. But
yeah, he's still got claws and shit.
He still has claws, but he doesn't have healing factor. So I don't understand how that works.
Because how would you heal if you're in the afterlife?
Oh, maybe that's the reason.
But how would you die if you're in the afterlife? You know, I don't know.
But that's what everybody's afraid of in here. So if you die again, I think you're just like gone. I'm not sure, but
you stay there.
And in a last ditch effort to save his friends, despite what Professor X says, who's there for some reason as well, but Nightcrawler makes a deal with BAMFs to teleport Azazel back to Earth, and then the X-Men back to Earth, and then he closes the portal behind them. And then we find out later that Nightcrawler made a deal with the BAMFs for his soul, whatever that means. So now Nightcrawler's back on Earth, and he's back, and he's not dead anymore.
He's alive. This is a panel of Warbird, very important, and there's like a BAMF that's like in love with her.
Yeah, he got rizzed up.
Yeah.
He's like, who is this X-Men?
No rizz needed.
Is she half Shire? Oh my goodness. And yeah, I feel like the ability of BAMFs were stretched pretty far here, because they're like teleporting from the afterlife to just present life. What do you call our plane of existence? Before life? No.
The living.
Yeah. So, or maybe that's because the portal's open. They're able to do that.
It made it seem like there's some sort of machine that made the portal.
I think the portal opens the gateway, and then maybe that is what allows them to BAMF in between.
Maybe.
But, yeah.
I thought they just all went through it.
Yeah. I don't know. So, that's issue 5. And then issue 6 is kind of like a wrap-up. So, basically, there's like a party.
It's a filler issue, honestly. Yeah,
pretty much. It's a party welcoming Nightcrawler back. The Uncanny X-Men, which includes like Cyclops and some other part of the team. Like the X-Men are like split at this point. And so like Cyclops is leading the Uncanny X-Men. And that was being written by Bendis at the time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they just like decide to show up at this party and they don't cause trouble. So it's all cool. And then Azazel was being transported to jail. Mystique was at the Nightcrawler party to see her son.
Go quick. Cameron Stewart and Rachel Rosenberg on this one for art and colors.
Oh, yeah. There was an artist change.
But just this issue. All right, continue.
Yeah, so Azazel's being transported to jail. Mystique was at the party to be like, is my son alive? And then she finds out, yeah. And then Nightcrawler is chasing her because she breaks Azazel out of the transport. And then she like hires him to be a part of her team. And then Kurt's like, man, family, am I right? And they just get drunk with Logan. And then it ends. So, yeah. So my favorite part about this issue is Dupe. We see another Dupe and he's just having a good old brewski in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Brewski or Tooski?
Yeah. So he's there. I actually like this artist. I like how this artist portrays like Nightcrawler and like Wolverine and all
that. Draws like a really good Cyclops.
Yeah, dude. I thought the same thing. I was like, dang, that's solid. So, I also love this Cyclops design.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. So what was happening here?
What? With the X-Men?
Yeah.
So I think after Avengers versus X-Men, Cyclops made some choice decisions. And so he's just kind of leading his own team of X-Men, of people that like follow him, which includes Magic and Kitty Pryde and Emma Frost.
Is it Emma Frost?
I think so. I don't know who that is. But basically, they're just like kind of doing their own thing, trying to do like mutant rights stuff while everybody else is just at the school doing school stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of beef, but they don't like associate with each other.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Alrighty.
Pretty good. So let's go into Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Alrighty. Back Matter Matters. My favorite part of the episode.
Yes.
Is always the back matter.
Always the back matter. And we got nothing.
Nope.
It's you just go from the last page of the last issue to the back cover. And it's very disappointing. We had some in-between matter.
Yeah.
But just like stuff it at the end.
Yeah. You know? Like why?
Give me back matter. You know?
Why you need to tell me like what covers there were for the specific issue?
That's what I'm saying. I don't get
it. So I guess there was like back matter. It was just misplaced.
Yeah. Yeah, so we saw some cool stuff, but
I don't give a shit about mid-matter.
So, Dan, what would you rate this book?
They're drinking brewskis at the end, yep, you know? Give it a tall beer.
A tall beer.
What kind of beer? A big blue van.
Ooh, because Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler is blue.
Oh, good beer. Yeah. No one's going to get that.
Or maybe the Devil's Ale from Santan Brewery.
Okay, I'll give it a Blue Moon.
Ah.
The more obvious choice.
Yeah.
But I think that works because when I first started drinking, I was really into Blue Moons because I didn't know what else I liked.
Yeah.
And now I've kind of refined my taste a little bit. And now I like Blue Van.
I don't remember the last time I had a Blue Moon, honestly.
Me neither. But that's what I used to go to all the time. And it was like very early in my drinking career. And reading this comic was very early in my comics reading life. I remember reading this like waiting for a haircut. And that was like kind of like...
Isn't it weird how you reread stuff and you like kind of go back to where you read it the first time?
Dude, yeah. I don't know why I'm so good at remembering where I was when I was reading stuff. But I just like associate things so well. Because I'm still kind of embarrassed to like read comics in public.
Yeah.
I'm not like I'm trying to hide it almost.
Sure.
I think I've gotten a little bit better to where I'll just be like on a random, you know, somewhere like in public. And I won't be like... having my phone close, I'll just kind of be like hunched over and reading stuff. But
whenever I look at pages like Preacher, I like am teleported back to my old work
because
that's
where
I like read most of it.
Yeah,
just like on breaks and shit.
Yeah, in the break room, I've read some good stuff.
A lot of break room reading.
Yeah, or like just in my car sometimes.
Yeah,
which hits sometimes. But yeah, so let's get into the poll list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
So what'd you get this week, Nathan? Did you go today?
I did go yesterday, today.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. So I picked up Green Lantern, which came out number 5, I believe.
Okay.
And then
that only on 5?
Yes. But okay. It's because there's like a Night Terrors thing in between.
Oh, true, true.
And so that was like 2 or 3 issues of that. So number 5.
But then there's also Green Lantern War Journal that's also coming out.
And Green Lantern Alan Scott. So I'm a bit spoiled at the moment. Haven't started Alan Scott or War Journal, but I will.
It's a little diluted around here, if you ask me.
Yeah, we got the big 3. I would like some Kyle Rayner stuff, but I think he's going to be in the main run starting like issue 7 or something. So I'm excited for that.
So are all the human Green Lanterns just kind of like coexisting?
Yeah, they're alive. And like they all have rings, I think. But Hal Jordan has like a unique kind of ring right now. I forget what's unique about it, but I know that that's a big point of it. It's pretty much the same.
Didn't sound very interesting to me.
Yeah. And then I don't know what's going on with Jon Stewart because I haven't read his series yet. And then I don't know what's going on with Alan Scott because I haven't read his series yet. But yeah, they're all just kind of like existing. But I think the Alan Scott one takes place when he was originally created. So it's like 70s.
Okay.
And it's like hard for him like being gay and stuff. So mm-hmm. that's in there.
What else did you get?
I picked up Predator versus Wolverine, number 3.
Yep.
And then I picked up a third thing that I can't remember.
Did the Howard the Duck anniversary one-shot come out?
Yeah, it did.
Is that the third thing you got?
No.
Oh, okay.
I looked at it and I was going to, but I was like, I won't read it.
Did you get Giant Robot Hellboy number 2?
Ooh, that's what it was. Giant Robot Hellboy number 2.
You're welcome.
I haven't read number 1 yet, but I'm excited.
I don't have it.
You don't have number 1?
Yeah, I missed it.
Oh, what a chump.
I know. Like, it was like one of those weeks where like I didn't go, and then I went to go grab it like on Black Friday, and like it was just gone.
Okay. And then I think I will go back and pick up X-Men Blue.
Okay.
Because of the Azazel stuff that's happening, the Mystique stuff. And then also Nightcrawler is dressed as Spider-Man for some reason. I'm just like kind of curious about that.
Oh yeah, that was kind of like a thing, right?
It's like a thing, and I don't know why. I don't know if I like it even, but I just want to know what's going on.
Spiders can teleport.
No, kind of, yeah. It feels like it sometimes. You see one in the shower and you're like, shit, let me go smash this, and then he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much the same stuff, except I'm getting Firepower 29, which is the penultimate issue for Firepower.
It ends on 30?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Give me Chris Samnee back. I want to read something that he does that's not Firepower because I
haven't even touched Firepower.
I have not.
I'm not going to make you read Firepower, but I feel like I could convince you.
I feel like, you know, it's...
You would love it.
I would love it. It's basically Iron Fist.
Exactly.
But that's why you love Iron it. It's not Iron Fist, Daniel.
It's better.
That's who I... Ooh, don't say that. It can't be. Maybe it's great. You know?
It's
how far are you in that book?
It's Iron Fist, but no pajamas.
I love the pajamas, Daniel. I like how no one can decide what pajamas to put Iron Fist in every run. It's like, should it be a tracksuit? That's weird.
Should you have sneakers? I don't know.
Should you have socks? A big deep V that goes down to his belly button?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on like 8, I think.
Okay, nice.
but I bought them all because I know I like it.
Dude, you know what's gotten fucking away from me is World's Finest.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm 8 in. It's like 22 just came out, I think.
I think I just read the first trade.
Yeah, and honestly, it was great. And I know it'll be great if I continue reading because the people that got me into it are still doing it.
I thought it was going to be over like 10 issues ago.
Dude, I know.
Because they were coming out with Shazam. And I was like, no way they do both. But they've been doing both somehow.
I don't know how it works.
Yeah, so I'm like, this will probably just go on until I'm bankrupt.
Yeah.
Like they're waiting for me to run out of money.
They're like, oh, you're still spending on it. I don't know. Yeah.
Daniel's still buying it. So I guess we're going to still make it.
Yep.
Did you read anything?
I read Predator versus Wolverine number 2.
Okay.
And I still really like that book. It's fucking strong.
Yeah. 2 issues in, you still like it?
Still liking that. That's cool. 3 just came out. I was going to try and read number 3 today, but didn't get the chance.
Is that you're going to be like 5 or 6 issues?
I think it's 5.
Okay. Cool.
And it seems like it's just like different eras of Wolverine. And so this era was like not Task Force X, but it was a different task force that he was on of like Wolverine, Sabretooth, some other people that like kill.
Like Weapon X team or something?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
Except the idea behind that team is that they get their memories wiped after every mission. And so he knows that he's fought Predator before, but he forget what his deal is, you know? And like how to beat him.
Yeah.
And I like that dynamic.
Yeah, no, it's like perfect.
Yeah, it's really cool. So they're doing good with that one.
Cool.
But yeah, that was the only thing I read because we had a double week. You showing me something?
So I read Birds of Prey number 1.
Oh, okay.
Super good. The art's kick ass. I'm not gonna keep going with it. Maybe I'll get like the trade or something.
Okay.
But look at this double page spread with like the Black Canary like in motion with like Batgirl.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that so sick?
Dude, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Who does the art on this?
Leo Romero.
Oh, I've heard that name.
He's the man.
Wow, there's so much going on here.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to like bring that up to you.
I love the lettering too. Oh, look at this lettering where it like goes around them. It says FWOOK.
Ooh, I didn't catch that.
That's cool.
Genius. All right, give it back. I got another thing to show you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're getting the team together. It's a pretty good cliffhanger and whatnot. But
who's the Bat character in this?
It's like it's Cassandra Cain.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
They call her like Batgirl.
Okay. What is she normally called? Spoiler? Is that what it is?
I think so. I can't remember. So if you look at this, Seems you know, ironic. it's Black Canary talking to Cassandra.
Dude, this is gorgeous.
Yeah, isn't it sick? It's like old school.
Like, but I would love to have like this page on my wall, you know? Even though it's just like them talking, like shooting the shit or whatever.
If you notice, Black Canary's got like fishnets up until like the last two panels of the second page.
And what happened
to
her fishnets?
I'm like, where'd they go? She ripped them off?
Oh, wow.
It'd be kind of sexy, but like, no, she didn't rip them off. They're just gone somehow.
Dude, what?
Maybe Leo didn't want to draw them.
Oh, I forgot Big Bardo was in this too.
Yeah.
Do they come back? Do the fishnets come back?
Yeah, they do. But it's just that one page. And I was like,
all right, Leo, step it up.
Very interesting.
Maybe it's like you're supposed to draw it in yourself. Just get a pen.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then I read The Holy Roller, Nathan.
Ooh, nice. By three different writers.
Is it three writers?
Yeah. It's Sandberg, who probably just like came with the idea, and then Remender.
Right.
Or and Spencer.
It's Remender.
Remender, and then the third guy.
Yeah. That's okay, I guess.
It's fine.
I think they could have like put a little bit more in there to keep you coming back kind of thing.
I agree, because a lot of it.
I guess maybe the cover is kind of the thing that you're like looking forward to something.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever that character is, that's not like in the first issue.
Yeah.
It's like a little dense. It's like a big issue. It seems like double sized or whatever.
Yeah, but a lot of what was in there like wasn't super interesting.
Yeah.
Or like even relevant that much. Like, there's a lot of him on the boat doing whatever his job was supposed to be, but he's clearly just slacking off. But like a lot of it was on there.
Yeah.
It seems like. I like the relationship with him and his dad. He's like, he used to be the best bowler or whatever. why don't you continue on the legacy of being the best bowler?
Yeah. He's like, that's not my legacy or whatever. And
like, I like that aspect of it because it's like very dramatic, but it's like kind of like a silly topic.
Yeah.
Like, he could have been the best bowler.
Yeah. The guy's kind of a dick. Like, he's been on that boat doing like humanitarian shit for like 20 years. And 20 years ago, like, his mom like died.
Yeah.
And the only reason he came back is because his dad's dying now.
Yeah.
And like, so your mom dies and you dip, you know, leaving your dad alone for like 20 years.
Yeah. That's that kind of sucks.
Crazy.
Yeah. He's not a great guy. I also think it's funny that there's still that like arcade rivalry. Like, when he was a kid.
I'm like, get the fuck over. Who remembers that?
I think that's like an Andy Samberg like type idea where he's like, it'd be funny if they had this like silly rival, and then maybe Remender try to make it like serious or something.
Maybe if like he went and hit on like his sister, you know, like which was the original issue.
Yeah.
And then like it all just comes back to the brother who like banned him or whatever.
But the idea is like when they were these two characters, the main character and like his rival when they were kids, like he was playing. His rival's dad owns the arcade and like the bowling alley, but he was playing him against some arcade cabinet game just to like continue playing at that arcade. And then he has to like leave without even competing. And so I guess like the rival kid has just hung on to that for like 20 years or however long it's been. So I just think it's funny. He comes back and he's like, shouldn't have stepped in here.
Yeah.
And I like the bowling ball action, but I don't know how they're going to innovate beyond what they showed us.
Yeah.
Because he like smashes someone's head and then he bounces it and it hits somebody. And I'm like, okay, that's like everything.
So yeah, I'm probably not going to keep going with it.
I'll give it one more.
For sure. Then I watched Invincible. With Thetis.
Thetis
issue.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Isn't it distracting?
Yeah. I was like, I wonder if like Sarah will somehow just pick up that this is like Optimus Prime that is talking right now. Like, I don't think she watched those movies or has any of that kind of background, but like it's like distracting.
It's just Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it's so funny.
He's gonna roll out like at any minute.
Yeah, I like how the show, like the intro is like Alan the alien instead of Invincible.
I like seeing some Alan stuff, you know.
Yeah,
because like we're past what I've read, I'm pretty sure, in the comics already.
Oh, definitely.
So I was like, okay, cool, some Alan stuff, you know, he's getting jiggy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So was Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are we watching? Is this porn? I'm like, kind of.
Could be. I don't know. And
I like how the girl that Alan's with, her name's like Telia or something. She's like voiced by like the She-Hulk actor.
Oh, is that actress? Who it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I recognized.
I was like, who the fuck is that? Yeah. I know it. And I didn't guess it. Yeah,
no, okay. I looked it up. Nice.
And then. Did you watch I can't remember. Did you watch the most recent episode? The fourth one?
Yeah. There's like those two other Viltrumites.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the most recent episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like how at the end of that, Clancy Brown was like another character.
Was he one of the Viltrumites?
Yeah, he was the one that was like talking to like Invincible when he was down. Krieg.
Krieg, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a fucking minute.
Oh, yeah, it was Clancy Brown, wasn't it? I was like, dude, he's having a fucking run.
Yeah, dude, he's Damien Darkblood and Krieg.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that he was Damien. Dude, I want Damien Darkblood back.
Yeah, he's like, they're like, this guy is too cool. He needs to play two people. Dude,
yeah, honestly. He's had a killer year. He's been on Ahsoka. He's been on fucking Gen V.
Yeah.
He's been on this now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Love that guy.
I think he was, wasn't he in Hunger Games or some shit?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe I made that up. But yeah, I didn't know about Omni-Man having another son. And so I saw that and I was like, no way.
Yeah, that was like an episode that like kind of hooked Sarah back in. She's like, this man's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And then like the... I guess their lifespan's like super short and shit, which is why like he gets a kid so fast.
Yeah.
I like the parallels between like Omni-Man being like super lonely out in space flying around. And then there's like Debbie, who's like just super lonely. By the way, Mark, fuck you for not saying you're leaving for a little bit to your mom.
Yeah. It's a quick text.
You called Amber and then you're like, can you call my mom?
And went to her house or her dorm.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, call your fucking mom. Yeah. Also the shit when like she's going to the therapy, whatever you want to call that.
Oh, the group or whatever.
The group thing. And then that dude finds out that she was...
She should not have like spilled the beans on that.
She should not have. I thought they were going to hang on to that for like a couple more episodes because that's very spicy. But they kind of let it...
I think they do in the book, but they just kind of...
Because it's very spicy. It's like, man, she has to like hold that in and try and be like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's crazy.
But yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, it was so good.
And then I love the comic.
The guy with the guts.
Yeah.
His guts was out and he came out. He came back. So
when he pinned him to the wall, I'm like, I think you got to do more. I'm like, I don't think that's enough. Like, I don't remember that being enough.
I saw his guts and I'm like, okay, that seems pretty good.
I don't even like remember how you kill a Viltrumite.
You just got to like smash their head, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Seems but like they're definitely some tough bitches.
Yeah. And so when he comes back and he's like holding his guts in with a shirt, I'm like, oh, gross.
Yeah. I love whenever Viltrumites, they just do like a little slice or like a little stab when their hands all straight.
Oh, it's so good.
There's so many like little like, whoa, kills.
The 2v2 action was so good. And the point where Mark was like, okay, I actually like have to fight. And so he's like blocking and shit. I'm like, go Mark, go Mark.
Oh, I love like Omni-Man. He's like, you have to fight them like you want to kill them.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like the only way you can survive. Because these guys are so much stronger.
He's like, turn off that like moral switch right now. Or we're not making it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't kill people. I'm like, what are you, Batman? Get in there.
These guys suck. They've killed trillions probably. Yeah. So
it's just like, we're getting to like so much like good shit. Like the Viltrumites are so cool, you know?
Yeah, they are.
And there's this one dude, this is one specific Viltrumite. His name's Conquest.
Yeah.
And he is a bad motherfucker, dude.
We saw him so briefly, right?
Yeah, you saw him for like a second.
Yeah.
He's like my second favorite villain in Invincible.
Very cool.
He's coming soon. I can feel it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And so, and it just sucks because like there's only like 4 episodes left, right? And I'm like, oh, they can only get to like so much, but there's just like so much good shit like throughout the whole book.
But they got through so much last season with just 8 episodes too. So it's like,
I feel like they're covering less ground right now
this season, which I don't definitely feel. Yeah, I think what they're doing right now is good. Like they're letting them cook.
Yeah,
because the first season was very clear. Like first episode, we reveal what the twist is,
which is then, like 12 issues in.
Yeah, and then the last issue is like when they have their big fight, and that seems like a pretty well-rounded first season. You know, the stuff in between they'll just kind of cover. But yeah, I like the pace that they're going now.
Yeah,
because I would hate to have only like
that fight is like 24 issues in, or maybe 30, something like that.
The fight between Mark and Omni-Man? Oh, okay.
But
when was the 2v2 one? It seems like it would have been
40s?
Yeah, it seems like it would have been around there. So
yeah, I'd have to double check. I need to get those like compendiums and reread it. Because I'm like itching just to reread it.
I kind of want to just read all of it, but I don't want to at the same time because I like the show. But I think I would like the comic better, honestly.
I think that, so you know how like
they both have their value.
It's kind of like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Like the movie is like very condensed, but still very good.
That's the best comparison you could have made, I think.
And then like the comic, there's just so much more context and you can appreciate it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, good show.
Wasn't it weird that the writing credits and stuff came up after Alan got his shit?
Yeah. What the fuck was that about?
Is Alan okay? Don't tell me, but I hope he is.
But anyway, like, yeah, it just like really threw me off.
Yeah, I'm like, is that it?
A part of me was just kind of waiting. Like, my body felt like it was going to end at any moment. You know how like your attention span is just kind of like,
yeah.
Once you see that, then it's like all fucked up, you know?
I wonder if that was like on purpose, because I was like, man, this is a long...
Well, yeah, it's on purpose. They did it.
Well, yeah, but like...
But why?
Because I think you...
But it's funny because like they had like this like
whole other episode pretty much.
They had this cliffhanger, but they just wanted like two cliffhangers and like an episode or whatever. And so they're just like, oh wait, there's more shit we gotta talk about. But
it kind of threw off my internal clock because I was like, I have no idea when this is gonna end. Yeah. Maybe that's what they wanted to do.
Like jet lag or something.
Maybe that's what they wanted, because like, it was the fight felt like it lasted for forever, like the 2v2 fight.
Yeah, because it wouldn't make sense to have all that and then just this like on the alien after credit scene, you know?
Yeah. Because
that's like not as big.
It's not as cool.
You know? So I think they did it right. Maybe just don't have the credits.
Anyway. Or maybe whoever wrote that really wanted to take credit for like how they wrote that scene. And so like, we're putting it in here. But I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'm liking it. I want it to come back.
Yeah, I don't... So it scares me that they haven't told us like when it's going to come back. So I fear
they haven't officially.
No.
Ooh.
It just says 2024.
As long as they get it right. The stuff that we were worried about after like the first episode with like the weird lip syncing stuff, I feel like I haven't noticed again.
Yeah. So. I've been like looking for it.
Me too. And
yeah, the animation, I think
they nailed it.
Fine.
So however long they take, I'm cool with.
Yeah. Don't rush this. Yeah. If you want them to rush it, just go read the book.
Yeah, honestly. Like, they have so much momentum, I feel like, going for the show. And if they fuck it up, it'd be catastrophic.
I hope, because I feel like there's a ton of momentum for the first season. And I feel like I just haven't seen anyone talk about it, necessarily.
The second season?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen a bunch of people talk about it.
Really? Okay, good.
I've had to, like, avoid spoilers.
Because I just don't want, like... Because I want there to be, like, hype for it, you know, as much as the first season, so we can get, like, the whole thing, you know?
I agree.
What are we gonna read next week?
What are we reading next week, Nathan?
We are reading Aquaman, Death of His Baby. what is it called? Death of a Prince.
Death of a Prince.
Yeah.
So the Aquaman movie will be coming out, and there's Aqua Baby in it. And you know what that means.
He's gonna die.
Every spoilers, Nathan.
It's, yeah, that's true.
I guess
he'll be fine.
It's all good.
Don't even worry about it.
And so we'll see if it happens in the movie, but we want to read the comic, comic.
Yeah.
So thanks everyone for watching. Thanks for listening. A bit of a shorter one, I guess, but
that's fine.
You got our link in the description. Go like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that. Mm-hmm, Email us. Tell us what X-Men stuff you like.
Tell us your weird X-Men favorite.
Yeah.
Because I like to know.
Is it Warbird?
Is
Warbird your favorite?
Is
if you know anything about Warbird, please tell us.
Yeah, please. I've tried digging the depths of the internet, so I'd be ready. And I just couldn't find shit, really.
Email us at traderspod@gmail.com.
Is it Glob Herman?
If it is, good choice.
Yeah. It's a really good choice, actually.
Imagine you just like meet a new person and X-Men comes up and you ask their favorite. They're like, oh, dude, definitely Glob Herman. Dude,
Glob carries. Imagine you see Glob in like live action. There's one guy in the back. It's like, yeah.
Let's go.
Glob. The goofy.
Yeah, he's just walking down the hall like in the background.
Dude, yeah, I would be so hyped.
Everyone's like, what the fuck is that? Like, let's go.
I want a Glob ongoing. a Glob going. Anyway.
All right, bye.